We have four scriptures today. The first one, Book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, 1 through 4. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. And turning to Psalm 119, beginning at verse 137. O Lord, you are righteous, and your regulations are fair. Your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. I am overwhelmed with indignation, for my enemies have disregarded your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. I am insignificant and despised, but I don't forget your commandments. Your justice is eternal, and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so that I may live. Continuing on in 2 Thessalonians. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you, because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. And for our gospel reading this morning, Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love the story of Zacchaeus, right? You remember the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. It's hard to preach on a text that is, you know, like, something that you kind of steep in as a child. You know, you hear the song, you get the story of Zacchaeus, you kind of formulate your opinions pretty early. And so you always have to be a little careful when dealing with a text that is so common, so everyday, right? So I think we need to start with who Zacchaeus is. And I don't mean the notorious tax collector Zacchaeus. I mean who he is as a person, who he is inside his self. And we can infer a few things about the nature and the behavior and the personality of Zacchaeus. For one, he is a man of forethought. He didn't happen to be up in the fig tree so that he could see Jesus go by. He decided, he made a decisive decision and said, I am too short. Jesus is coming this way. I want to see him. This is how I fix the situation. So you have a grown man, right? A grown man climbing a tree to see this person coming down the street. So another thing we can infer about Zacchaeus is he probably doesn't much care what anyone thinks of him. Right? I mean, how many of us just randomly climb trees? So what Zacchaeus is doing here is he is saying, this is so important to me that I don't care what anyone thinks, what anyone says. Well, the funny thing is we already know this about Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And he's not just a tax collector, he is a chief tax collector, and he is very wealthy, and he clearly flaunts that, everyone knows. Which also tells us that Zacchaeus does not care what anyone thinks of him. He is purely and truly, in this aspect, a man of the world. He understands the kingdom that he is in. He understands how to work it for his own advantage. He is wealthy. He is prosperous. He is living a pretty good life. And so, using his forethought, his knowledge, his lack of care, what anyone says or thinks about him, he goes and he climbs up a fig tree. To see a man, maybe a little bit more like Zacchaeus than we realize. To see a man who has forethought in what he does, who doesn't go places willy-nilly. To see a man who doesn't care what anyone thinks of him, but rather he is on a mission from a kingdom. You see, the difference between Zacchaeus and Jesus is not as great as we would normally like to think. I kind of suspect Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and said, now there's a man I could get along with. The variance, the difference, is what kingdom they are working out of. See, Zacchaeus has been living in the kingdom of the world. He understands the kingdom of the world, and he uses the rules of the kingdom of the world to make himself a very successful person. This is exactly what Christ calls his followers to do, except with different rules. Learn what my kingdom is. Let me teach you something, and maybe you'll become a good citizen. See, Zacchaeus was a good citizen. He knew how to be a citizen. He knew how the rules worked. He knew how the laws worked in his favor. And yet something happened in his brain when he meets up with this man from a different kingdom. See, Zacchaeus and Jesus go back to his home, right? To the dismay of the crowd. Everyone knows who this Zacchaeus is. We don't know what Jesus says to him, but we know full well what Zacchaeus says in return. And he has this paradigm shift in his soul. He realizes, I am a good citizen, but I'm a citizen of the wrong kingdom. So let me change it. Let me do something different. So it's in the other scriptures that we read, let's go back through them a touch, that we find out a lot more about Zacchaeus. In the passage in Habakkuk, my eyes aren't so good, hold on a second. Look at the proud, they trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Zacchaeus lost his pride. See, pride is the motivating factor in the kingdom of the world. Humility is the motivating factor in the kingdom of heaven. Zacchaeus traded in his pride for humility and brought salvation to his household. He says, you know what? I'm going to give half my money to the poor, and anything I have taken unfairly in taxes, that's how he got rich, by the way, you know, he was going to return four times as much. So we can apply the scripture of Habakkuk to him. And that's a beautiful, beautiful testimony of who he was. But it doesn't stop there. Over in the Psalms passage, I am insignificant and despised, but I don't forget your commandments. I find joy in your commands. Your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so that I may live. Can you hear the conversation between Zacchaeus and Christ? Can you hear Zacchaeus saying, help me to understand them so that I may live? And then there's this beautiful response. Four times back, half my money to the poor, I understand. And Zacchaeus shifts from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of heaven. And again, salvation comes to his household. And I think the prayer that we see in 2 Thessalonians was prayed for Zacchaeus, not just for the church in Thessaloniki. We keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Do you know, we don't know what Zacchaeus did. We know what he says he is going to do. We don't know what he did. His faith has prompted him to do something, but does he carry it out? Does he continue in the path? And I think that is the point that we need to talk about here. See, all of us have a touch point with the kingdom of heaven. All of us do. Because every single person on this earth was created in the image and the likeness of God. And yet, there is going to be some point of brokenness in our nature. Something that we are not fully aligned with the kingdom of heaven. And some people, that brokenness gets so horrible, we can't even see the mark of the Creator in them. But it's there. And some people appear to be so holy that we don't see the brokenness in their soul. But it's there. All of us have a job to do in respect to our own lives. All of us need to have a conversation with the Christ that is walking down the road. We all need to find out how much of us is in his kingdom and how much of us is in the kingdom of the world. And see, what we do then is we offer to Christ that which we can offer. In this part of my life, I am walking right with Christ. That I will offer. And then in the part that's still broken, we hand it up with a trusting heart and respond in obedience. See, there always has to be a response. There's no such thing as cheap grace. It's not real. Don't let anyone tell you that. There always has to be a response. Anytime Christ talks about people believing in him, there is always this concept of obedience. Because if you hear, you do. If you understand, you respond. See, we're not responsible for the bit in our lives that we don't yet know is out of line. That's okay. We are responsible for the bit in our lives that we do know is out of line. It's this gathering up that Christ does slowly, slowly, slowly. See, it doesn't say in here that Zacchaeus was perfect. It doesn't say that perfection happened in him immediately. He says, I will do this, I will do this. And Jesus responds, salvation has come to this home today. To this home. Not to this man, to this home. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. You see, this is where our faithfulness and our response to this kingdom of heaven affects the people around us. It just does. This is part of the divine mystery. We can't always understand the workings of God. He's too far above. And yet, Christ shows us what salvation looks like. And then the job of the church and the prayers that we have for each other is, may you continue so in that way. May you continue pressing forward. And as you get realigned in this area of your life with the kingdom values, God will show you the next. And then that area gets aligned, and then God will show you the next. This is the path and the process of salvation. And this is exactly why we are not ever called to judge another Christian. You see, Zacchaeus was really more in alignment with Christ than the people on the street thought. He just had to be kind of straightened out a touch. And that's why we are never, ever, ever, ever called to judge someone as to where they are with their faith in Christ. We're called to judge ourselves. We have got to look inside our own heart and say, Lord, what next? Where am I following the wrong kingdom? And the Lord will answer you right here. The beauty of that is this is how all of nature responds. It's this action of growing, of growth. Reaching up, getting higher. I mean, God gives us examples all around us all the time. And sometimes he's very gentle. And sometimes he allows the storms to come. But it's always with this idea of waking up to who you are. See, the biggest failings that we can do in this life are not chasing after power or money or whatever little idol you have. the biggest failing that we can ever have in our life is not chasing after who God created us to be. And it's when we realize, hey, this might be worth looking a little crazy over. I don't care what these people around me think. It doesn't matter. I want to be who Christ has called me to be at any cost. Cost of reputation. Anything. Can you imagine the jeers Zacchaeus heard when he was climbing back down that tree? For one, everyone's going to be horrified. Don't you know who this man is? He's a thief. That's what he is. He's a common criminal. He's a thief. He's taking our money. He is harming us, and he is flaunting it in our faces, Jesus. Don't you know who he is? Funny thing, if Jesus really was from this world, he wouldn't have gone with Zacchaeus. Do you want to know why? He would have been too concerned about his own platform. Well, that wouldn't look very good, would it? You've got all these people here who are interested in maybe becoming a member of my way. See, Jesus didn't care what they thought because that was not his purpose. He was there doing the will of his Father. And so should we. We are here to do the will of our Father in heaven, nothing else. And when we fail in that area, there is grace, and there is repentance, and there is another chance. And the cycle continues. There is grace, there is repentance, there is another chance. And we continue to climb higher and higher and higher into who God has called us to be, into who God wants us to be. I think we should all hope to be like Zacchaeus. We should all hope to be that holy, that when faced with the decision, which kingdom are you going to put your footing in, we would say, absolutely, here is where I belong. And may Christ help us and guide us and keep us so that we may continue to press on in the journey, no matter what. Amen.
Each Sunday, we take a few moments to share our prayer celebrations, our concerns. On many Sundays, once those prayer requests, concerns, joys have been shared, we'll go ahead and pray through them. But on Communion Sundays, we share them, and then we go immediately to the Lord's Prayer. But having shared those concerns and joys, we have the opportunity then throughout the week to be praying and thanking God or requesting God for the things that we have heard. And so as you think about your life and the world around you, what would you like to pray about this week? There will be a funeral 1 week from yesterday. And you all know the member of our congregation, Pat Gates. What you may not know is that Pat, many years ago, made an acquaintance with an individual when her husband, Fritz, was in the nursing home. And for 11 years, Pat has become the guardian of this lady because her own children could not be trusted to do that job for her. One of the children had taken that responsibility and squandered the money that Social Security was sending their mother. And so Pat has faithfully looked after this woman, and her name was Vanita Patchen, who died this past week at 97 years old. And Pat came to me and said, would you be willing to do her funeral? And I said, Pat, you have been such a wonderful and faithful person of our church. Of course, I would do her funeral and have a meal. That funeral is going to be next Saturday. And it is what's known in the workings as a graveside service, not a memorial here at the church, but simply out at the graveside. We'll pray for good weather. Vanita has two children, one from New York and one from California. They will be traveling for the funeral and to finalize all the arrangements for their mom. If you would keep me and especially Pat in your prayers, I just think it's a beautiful thing that Pat didn't know this woman, but she jumped in and said, this is part of how my skill and the calling that God has laid on me to be able to minister to her this coming Saturday. Celebrations? Concerns? Yes, Tanya. Well, we've known and we've prayed for Adeline for several years, and if you see her, you know that she is a filled with joy child, but has the unfortunate reality of not really enjoying the taste of food or not feeling the need to eat. So she's growing healthy, but through a feeding tube, and they'll be traveling this week to Denver to work with some specialists to see if they can change that situation around for Megan, for Adam, and for Adeline. God will bring this family at some point in time to your mind this week. You will remember a little child that has a feeding tube, and there will be some reason that this will come to your mind. And at that moment, commit now to say a prayer for this family and that God would be gracious to them. Yes, Tim. Yeah, such a strange and challenging time. The country needs the church more than ever before in the history of our culture, I believe. And it is a time to exhibit which kingdom we are in and how to do that by loving Jesus and loving our neighbors and praying for all the leadership of the church. There's an election coming up this Tuesday. You want to be sure to do your duty in those elections. Will you pray with me the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The invitation to this table is simple. It comes from Scripture. People will come from the east and from the west, from the north and the south, all gathering together to sit at the feast of the kingdom of God. This is a picture of that feast which is forthcoming. It is the connection we make through the commandment of Christ to be part of the body of Christ. If you love Jesus Christ, you do not have to be a Presbyterian in order to celebrate this meal, and we would invite you to do so. We'll sing our preparation hymn.